These girls are having a breakdown. Bravo breakdowns. These girls are going insane now. Bravo breakdown.
So just kind of let me. I'll try to drive the car, but sometimes I might have to pull over, look inside, and I'm not like Luke Broderick. Okay, I might have to, you know, call
look under
mechanic.
The look under the hood.
Yeah, I can't just, you know, troubleshoot the same way he did. So just
we're gonna roll it down the hill.
Okay, so good morning, students. I'm Lauren Davis.
I'm Michelle Baber.
And we have been recapping The Valley. Apparently no one likes watching The Valley episode recaps three weeks later.
Which is, that came as a shock to us, you guys.
We're like, actually, that's like so up my alley. Like right now I'm watching recaps of like Big Brother 17 from 2015. Like, so that's my speed. But you guys, not
that,
fans.
What fair. Seasons is that on? Big Brother.
Season 27, Summer of Secrets, is about to start.
So not so secret.
Not so secret.
Not so secret. Oh, yeah. Celebrity Big Brother, the show famous for making JoJo Siwa straight again.
Oh, that's UK. But yes.
But that's the good
UK's
one.
UK is very different.
UK's the good Celebrity Big Brother.
Yeah,
that's
I heard. UK is better just because they get bigger gets. Because
yeah,
there's
like
more
JoJo.
Of like a... Like JoJo, Mickey Rourke, of course, big
right.
Hit.
He was the one
Oscar
who
nominated.
Yeah, the wrestler.
He kind of like did a like kind of a curse. You know, he's kind of like an old mystic now, and he's like, "You will be
straight." Right. He clocked it. He clocked it. I always think of that movie, like whenever I don't feel good, and that wrestler. He's like, "I'm just a broken down piece of meat."
Oh, yeah. I always think about how Marissa Tomei, to get in shape to play a stripper in that movie, she did hula hooping for like 3 hours a day.
Can we just not do this and just talk?
No, okay. I think it's going to be fun.
I want to talk about the Tonys.
We can talk about the Tonys real quick. I'm so happy for Cole. I mean, we all knew they were going to win.
They were going to win.
They were a front runner. But
not Georgie. Not Georgie boy. Sorry, George.
Sorry. But I'm so happy for them, especially because like when you read articles from like other collaborators, they had like Amy Sedaris, Julie Klausner, like people who worked with them a lot and like thought they were such a star from the beginning. Clearly.
They're such a star. The funniest YouTubes.
Yeah, and yes, the it was like his Cole and Jeffrey like had this amazing YouTube series. Anyway, but they were always like they want like a vehicle that's just theirs and that they wrote so bad, even though they have such a great career in LA and New York already. And then it's just so exciting.
Yeah, and their acceptance speech was like so perfect, and I loved it.
Dressed like Bernadette Peters. Because they bear a striking resemblance to Bernadette.
Oh my God, the cheekbones.
Did you see Bernadette responded?
I didn't see that. Where's she hiding?
Oh, girl, she's around. She's like the unproblematic version of Patti LuPone.
Yeah, she's like the not mean Patti LuPone.
And like never age, looks exactly the same.
She's always, you know how there's just like some stars that have always been that age?
Yeah.
She's always been like 46.
Yeah, it's crazy. I think she's a cool 39.
Okay, she's always been 39.
Yeah.
She's always been a Hollywood 39.
Exactly. So then she said, she was like, oh, like I thought they looked great, but I did my chest hair in a different pattern.
I love that. I loved that. And then, Audra McDonald.
Audra McDonald. So I love Gypsy. But like I said to you,
I'm rewatching Gypsy.
Gypsy, my favorite musical. Book is incredible. And that's kind of why I think that I haven't seen the entire production. But apparently it's very faithful to the original because, like, great book. But for me, it's like, I don't need my Rose to be a great singer is the thing. So I'm like, I feel like Audra McDonald, the role, like, she could do better almost. You know, like, why, you know, honestly. Like,
but it's like an iconic role. And Patti LuPone had that role.
Right, but
that Midler.
Don't love Patti in it either. I told you, Rosalind Russell is my.
What about Bette?
I don't love Bette in it. I mean, she's the acting. She's like good acting. I don't know. I just love that original film version. Like my favorite movies. Since I was
with
like
the
6 years old.
Voice. Yeah. But yes. I did like Audra McDonald because I feel like she actually plays that role, like, especially that song. Like, she's having a mental breakdown.
Right.
And she actually did that. And I haven't really seen that much. That, the actual, like, falling apart mentally. And so I really connected with it.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's like the song that you do kind of need a good voice for. And obviously it's like, that's, you know, that's her, like, Tony moment, you know.
Right.
Like
her but she didn't get the Tony. The pussycat doll did.
The pussycat did indeed.
You got to grab her by the pussycat doll.
So,
all this to say, let's talk about Bo.
Okay, wait. But also, wait. One last thing. Most watched Tonys in 6 years.
I know. Okay, whenever I watch the Tonys, I'm like, I don't know anybody.
Yeah,
but this time I did.
That's, I think,
the power of the pussycat doll.
The power of the pussycat. Also, okay, and I just have one last thing to say. I've wanted to do it as an oral exam for a while. It's not as topical anymore. So people are mad about Cynthia being cast as Jesus in Jesus Christ Superstar.
Why?
Racism. But I'm actually I'm actually mad too, because she should be Judas. She would be such a good Judas.
Right.
It's a better role. It's in her range. She's so good at channeling that anger. I'm like obsessed with the role of Judas, and I just think she would crush it. And I do think it's a missed opportunity.
One, it's just kind of a boring musical. But two,
well, I love
wasn't John Legend Jesus in the like live version? Remember when like NBC was doing like the live musical,
the
like,
live version,
and he won an Emmy for that. So that's why he has like an EGOT now.
Oh, I forgot that he EGOT.
Yeah,
she's gonna EGOT this year.
Yeah,
well, she might not because she wasn't involved in writing the song for Wicked. The new songs. It was just Stephen Schwartz. So she has to win for Best Actress to EGOT.
She has to.
We'll just see what happens.
Anyway.
Okay, let's get into it. So based on our last episode, which no one liked, but some of you students still watched and listened to. Thank you. We did get a student request based on something we said at the end. We were talking about Vanderpump Villa season 2, which we, you know, had been looking forward to because, as we knew, Stassi was back, and we thought it would maybe be sort of a charm school format.
Right.
Stassi berating the staff. It seems like it is not that so much. It's more of just like a Hulu crossover promotion show where like the Mormon wives go on and pretend to fuck people on the staff.
Italians. Yeah.
And then Stassi's there to promote her family show. It's all whatever.
Yeah, she I don't even get it. I don't understand it. She has another show, like a different show. Like I'm not following.
Yeah, yeah. That show hasn't come out yet. I think because of the controversy from Vanderpump Villa, I think that that show, you know, there will be ratings there. The big splash that Stassi made on Vanderpump Villa was with her beau. Her hubby, Bo, and he has a tattoo of his estranged sister,
right.
Georgia, his estranged Italian sister who he met along with his father at 21 in Italy. And so they visit her there because this season of Vanderpump Villa is set in Italy. And Stassi gets very jealous. She's very upset. She thinks it's a strange relationship that Bo and the sister have to go to therapy. The sister's very mad that she's even in this conversation and that it's making news that she and her brother maybe want to fuck each other. and everyone's newly mad at Bo again.
Well, I'll say this in Bo's defense. Georgia is a very striking woman.
She is a beautiful woman.
She's a beauty. Isabella Rossellini, please. This is a real Italian beauty.
Well, let's not pit bad bitches against each other. Put those two together. Let's get them both narrating a bug sex viral video.
Oh yeah, that'll go well.
That'll go well. Let's get them both in a dark or blue velvet too. Yeah,
But like the one where David Lynch directs it from the grave.
From the grave. That's honestly so something he would transcendentally meditate into yeah. the theater.
And then- yeah, we got to bring that movie. People have been dying for a sequel to Blue Velvet for so long.
What happens next to Kyle MacLachlan?
Oh my God.
Yeah, it'll be like the Twin Peaks Fire Walk.
Right.
Of Blue Velvet. Okay, so then in the fandom, to give a little backstory, mostly, and we'll get into why, there was a lot of Bo support initially because of his narrative on the show. He's such a normal guy. He puts up with Stassi, who is like the nastiest.
She's crazy,
guy in the world.
Yeah.
But a little digging revealed he is, we see on the show, he claims multiple birthdays. He like pretends to be celebrating his 40th birthday, like, on St. Patrick's Day, but really
few years before 7th, yeah,
on
yeah.
March 18th,
right?
And
but it's funny. He's such a funny guy.
There's always been something. Even though it's
there's something dark passenger.
There was dark passenger, yes. And something ominous lurking underneath. He claimed many different names. He said his name was Beauregard, Bogey, Robert,
and he's never really worked.
Never really worked, and then two bankruptcies we knew about.
Before
30. Before 30, and so this Michelle and I were always like,
and also the wooden bow ties.
The wooden bow tie, perhaps the smoking gun.
That was the smoking gun. Yeah, great movie.
So yeah, Michelle and I, we always were a little concerned where we're like, could it be Stassi, famously obsessed with the macabre, all things dark and murderous.
Dark
could
she, murders.
Could she have landed herself a, perhaps
Jeffrey Dahmer,
a Dahmer, a Ted Bundy, if you will. So we, on the request of this student, I decided to do a little digging. I went to whitepages.com. They've upped their prices, Michelle.
Oh
and,
no.
Yeah. It's not the $1 fee I paid to find all of Marge from New Jersey's old addresses. No, I spent $20.
We're writing that off.
And then I got the free trial on Ancestry.com to finally get some definitive answers about one Robert Edward Clark, alias Beauregard, Bogey, and Silvio Bardetti. So first we're going to get into the backstory. So, Stassi Schroeder, you know, star of Vanderpump Rules, questionable dating history, right? Like when we first meet her at 24 in 2013, she's dating Jax, which you can only go up from there. So we thought, right? And so, yeah, she learns that he impregnated a stripper in Vegas, but actually she ended up not being pregnant. So we're starting.
Something happened. Something was paid for.
Something was paid for. So we're starting like at rock bottom.
Right.
And then somehow she dates Frank, who is somehow, I feel like,
worse.
He's such a misogynist dickhead to her.
And he also was threatening to really, he blackmailed her to release
sex tape.
That
but actually, he didn't blackmail her. He blackmailed
Lisa Vanderpump
for the $900 in back wages.
That would make me the most upset at all. Like, you just think this is worth $900.
That's so fucked up. That's like way worse than like
make it a grand.
Even before inflation, that's way more fucked up than Michelle getting paid $1,500.
Right.
From the billionaire. Yeah, but it just goes to show Lisa is. Even though she positions herself as like, well, I paid it off, Stassi, and you never thanked me. It's like, she is completely complicit, where it's like, he would have asked for more. Clearly, that was the amount that was owed by the Vanderpumps.
Yes.
But anyway, everyone's, Stassi is the only innocence in this
situation.
Story. Yeah, in this situation. Not in terms of her life, but here, she's the good guy. And so then she dates another guy, Patrick, for the bulk of the series. And he is somehow like
the worst person. Worse. He's like the worst person I've ever seen on TV, on Vanderpump Rules. And if you've watched Vanderpump Rules, the worst people you've ever seen ever all congregate by a dumpster and chain smoke cigarettes on that show. Jax is on that show. Tom Sandoval is on that show.
And Patrick,
to Kill a Katie.
I would so much rather date Sandoval than I would Patrick.
Oh my God, Patrick. He's so slimy. I mean, I think the episode that like encapsulates Patrick is the one where he meets Lisa and he is First of all, his pupils are crazy in that episode. His pupils are insane. And so are Stassi's. But he kind of hits on her. And then he's like, I don't think she understood. So he keeps doing it and talking about how her ass.
Push.
Her ass. He's like, you look really good walking away. Hey. And then she's like, okay, I'm old. And then he's like, hey, that ass is still high. Like, he won't stop. And then Lisa's kind of like, you need to stop it. You're upsetting me. And then Stassi's like, don't ever say anything bad about Patrick. He's my guy. Like, it was – and then she's also – she begs him on that episode to not break up with her. It's really sad because you rarely see Stassi in a position of, like, desperation. But Patrick always put her in that position.
Yeah, I mean, I think nothing comes off – proof that nothing comes off worse on reality TV than acting like you're above it while still being on it.
And that's what he's still most known for.
Yes. And, like, he makes it seem like – because he was already, like, a radio disc jockey. This was, like, before podcast.
He had a sports TV show or a sports something.
An early Barstool Sports situation. Mm. And so he kind of, like, teaches her the ropes and gets her podcast set up.
Right.
And she immediately way eclipses him in popularity.
Oh, like, absolutely. God, it's still successful.
It's still so successful. But she still feels like she needs him, you know? And that's just, like, the most frustrating thing. The fact that he's big-timing Lisa Vanderpump.
Insane.
Harassing her, it just shows it.
On her show.
That just repulses.
She's the producer and creator of that show. Well, Sheena's really. But, you know, that's what's even more wild. She's not just, like, the pretend manager of this restaurant. Like,
right.
She's going to put him in the worst light ever during editing.
Yeah. But it's like him being like, I don't even care. It's like getting in a pissing match with, like, Andy Cohen. Being like, my dick's bigger than yours, Andy.
Right.
It's like, we all know it's not. We saw the Leaf Grinder photo.
We've seen it.
So then when we meet Bo, the show, and
this guy's mother's narrative. He's a golden retriever, this guy.
Yes, he's so great. He puts up with crazy Stassi, the first nice guy. Very similar to how Brittany was always called a saint for putting up with Jax on Vanderpump Villa. That was always her narrative when really we know, like, you know, definitely of a victim.
Yes, victim, absolutely.
But also, like, Not a saint. Deeply problematic woman.
It's okay.
So then...
I mean, it's not okay to be problematic, but, you know.
Yeah. Victims don't have to be perfect. And I think Stassi exemplifies this very well as well. Some of us had our trepidations. And the first was when we were introduced to him, as we said, in that the smoking gun bow tie.
Well, that and... You know who introduced them? Kristen!
We'll get to that. I have what strange delights I have to show you, Michelle, that I've dug up.
For $20.
This one was a free Vimeo.
A free Vimeo?
And what happens? It will shock you.
Yay!
So another red flag was that Stassi has trademarked outfit of the day.
OOTD, the hashtag OOTD. She bought it for, I think she said it was $30,000. For $30,000, you can have a day.
Yeah. I think this was like in the 2010s when it was popular, like, you know, donut day.
And, like, hashtags were still really big.
Hashtags were a big deal. So it was probably a sound financial decision. They promoted on the show. But Bo decides for his OOTD, even though, like, he doesn't care about being on the show. He just loves Stassi. He doesn't need attention. He works in casting. He dresses up like a dinosaur. And this is not good for someone who claims to not want attention.
Well, it's better than the bow tie, baby.
Well, to be fair about the wooden bow tie, in its defense, to play devil's advocate, this was like a time Mumford & Sons was very popular. Aesthetic of like a...
poverty?
Farm weddings.
Farm chic. Yeah, mason jars. It's giving mason jar.
Yes, this was very in at the time, this kind of like farm hipster look. So, but the dinosaur, that's when I said, this is a theater kid.
This guy, yeah.
Yeah.
But he wasn't a theater kid. He was a Casting director.
Casting director. Oh, we'll get into that too. Another red flag, perhaps the biggest red flag of all for me, when I said, I don't care what the show is telling me, I do not like this guy, was when he Stassi meets his mom, Issa, mm-hmm. Issa Clark.
The love therapist?
The love therapist. And she he leaves to go to the bathroom, but secretly he put his phone down.
Insane behavior. You know that there's video cameras. You know there's cameras.
You'll be able to see it later.
Everything, babe. Crystal clear.
And he hits record. Hits record, I would Joe. Be-
Hit record, yeah. The girls who get it, get it.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt thing.
Mm-hmm. Third rock from the sun. All right, he's an alien.
But gosh, it's just so bizarre. Well, first of all, why wouldn't you furious. Just trust them to tell you afterwards?
I would be so furious if my husband was recording or my boyfriend was recording my conversations ever, because that couldn't have been the first time he's done that.
True. It happened. It's like almost like
he was too comfortable. Like, yeah, he felt like it was too easy for this guy. He didn't do this for the first time ever on TV. He's done it before and he'll do it again.
And he'll do it again. And especially when he's in his talking head, and this is positioned as a very romantic moment, as he plays it back for the cameras and his eyes, like the tears aren't really coming, but he's really working on them.
Yeah.
And like secretly recording your ones is romantic.
Romantic. Like, yeah. And he's like, I'll play it. It's like, can we just watch it?
Yeah. It's like, we have way better audio. Yeah, like the boom mics and their labs.
As they say in screenwriting, this is hero business.
Exactly. And that's, we'll get to that next part. When they get engaged, this was the same
at
year.
At the cemetery.
At the cemetery.
Mausoleum. Yeah.
Mausoleum. So already we're kind of thinking because this is where some of the bodies he's murdered.
Maybe. Yeah, exactly. Marilyn Monroe.
It's a little suspicious. I didn't go that far back in his ancestry, but maybe he's related to the Kennedys. I don't know. So he and Stassi, because Jax's wedding is such a flop and Jax goes so nuts afterwards, Stassi and Beau are kind of like the hero. They get famously get a hero edit.
I know. They get such a hero edit and they're like, wow, like Stassi, like she really did it. She found a guy who respects her and doesn't blackmail Lisa Vanderpump or hit on her on Lisa Vanderpump. Even Jax would kind of hit on Lisa Vanderpump. Like all of everyone.
Tom had a crush on Schwartz. Famously had a crush. But I think Lisa liked.
Oh, she loved it. She loved the little boy attention.
Like, and also it comes from, like, Tom Schwartz's character where he's like, I need a mommy
because I'm so showy. I'm so stupid. Yeah. Oh, mommy, tell me how to work.
Like Patrick being like, bitch, go make me some fucking fried cheese balls.
Well, and here's the other thing. We never saw Beau's apartment. Like, we never saw how we never went inside of that. Even when they were first dating, he always was just at Stassi's apartment. I guess we didn't ever see Patrick's apartment, but he was not on the show every episode. Beau was like a full-time cast member. Like, right. As soon as like he got introduced with Stassi, they were like, oh, he's a nice guy. Like, he was on the show. He was a season regular.
He was a regular. Yeah. Even when Kristen that season was a friend of Beau was still a regular.
Hachi-machi.
So this is another issue I have with Beau where he acts stupid. Above the show. And above Stassi. And I'm doing it because I love her. This is like the narrative about him on the show. He's just doing it because he loves her. He's got a job. He's all set. Even though Stassi also mentions she'll have to take on his debt after the engagement.
Right.
But then also he clearly loves being on the show. So much so that they get in fights when he stays out till 5 a.m. With her friends who are all known cheaters who cover for each other, even fucking people while being filmed. At her birthday party. And then she's painted as the bad guy for being like, do you actually want to be on the show?
Like, yeah. You know, like I would have called Jason a million times too had he pulled that shit. It's Stassi's not wrong. It's my fucking birthday. And it's not like crazy that she wants to go to bed with her boyfriend at 1 a.m.
Yeah, instead of
that's
him, like,
normal. He's
continuing with a like, bunch up, of
yeah. He's like up until lecherous. 5 a.m. and so yes, she calls him a lot, and she ends up breaking her phone. But I'd be fucking furious too.
Yeah, because what there's kind of two stories with Bo, and I think this.
He likes to party.
Yeah. I think that this quote that he gave really encapsulates the two sides. The mirror has two faces with Bo. Shockingly, this is about how they met. Bo Clark didn't want to give Schroeder a chance at first. Mm. During an appearance on his wife's podcast, he admitted her Instagram page turned him off. Okay. I just scanned through the pictures and I was like, the bleach blonde hair, she's probably got Botox, she's probably got fake boobs, just not my cup of tea. He recalled via Page Six. When they did go out, the duo really hit it off, with Clark admitting, we ended up closing down Mondrian Hotel talking.
Yeah, that Stassi probably paid for.
Yeah. And Schroeder described Clark as a good one.
Yeah, because he's like not outwardly, he's not like openly a piece of shit, but he's quietly sinister.
Yes, and I think part of it is that he kind of positioned himself, too, as a little bit of a dork.
I'm a dork, and look at my silly tattoos. Oh.
Yes, like, oh, I'm a nerd. Like, oh, I'm maybe, like, smarter than these people who have all just, like, been, you know.
I'm evolved.
Pass around party bottoms in L.A. just trying to be famous and partying. Not me. I was always very serious about my career. I'm a casting associate. I'm a nerd. And then I happen to fall in love with this girl on reality TV.
Right. So and I didn't even want to.
I didn't even want to because, well, she's so fake. I date girls with brown hair and A cups.
And silly tattoos.
Yeah, real actors, you know. But I fell in love with a reality star. What can I do? So then, of course, the unthinkable happens.
Oh, my God.
Stassi and Dodie are fired for
being canceled.
Hate crimes.
Literal
hate crimes.
Literal hate crimes.
And again, you know, never forget that Stassi has kind of still been completely unrepentant about calling the cops for just out of revenge.
She wrote a book about, and it was a New York Times bestseller.
Yes.
Off with my head.
Yes, but not at all about her cast member who she put in danger.
No, but about how it affected her life.
Exactly. And, you know, she just kind of was really never suffered any consequences other than not being on the show. And here's something you didn't know about Bo, which is very big of him. Did a lot of press at the time that he was going to step away from reality TV honor. Yep. Obviously, the producers clamoring for Bo to get back in there. Forget Stassi. Bo, we need you on the show. Maybe you can take a hosting job.
He's like, sorry, I got to get home to my wife. But before she was found guilty of this horrible hate crime against Faith, you know, like, so they knew that they were going to do The Valley. Like Stassi and Bo were going right, to supposed to be on The Valley, and they were going the premiere of The Valley was supposed to be Bo and Stassi's wedding.
That's right. I didn't know it was like The Valley as we thought. I thought it was more a show centered, going to be centered around them.
Yeah, I think she made it sound like, but it, she did say it was like The Valley, but I guess they were going to have like a bigger role. I mean, obviously a bigger role. They were going to be on it. Now she wouldn't do it, but then also like The Valley kind of was scrapped for a while because of Jax, and he was let go of VPR too.
Yeah. I mean, they didn't come back around to like. I'm sure
try to get was no. Scrapped. They did come back around to stop. Like when they decided to go ahead and do The Valley, and Jax was going to be on Valley.
They did ask her then.
Yeah, and she said no. Yeah. She had declined it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. She was like, I'm not interested. She made enough from her podcast. She was like,
well,
I don't wanna have
and her and Bo podcast. Had a podcast together, and I don't think that they do anymore. It's called like the Big Baby Bougie something.
Well, I think probably it's like she wanted her own show where she doesn't have to film with him. And
well, he doesn't have a job.
Well, debatable. We'll get into the research. Anyway, I just wanted to laugh at the fact that he did rounds of press being like,
I love my wife.
I love my wife, and I'm not going back. They're begging me to come back to the show, which, like, no, they're really? Not. They don't you want don't you even, back without Scott. You
didn't even work at Sir.
It's like, you don't fire me, I quit. Like, yeah. It's so stupid. Like, it's like, girl, unless you're fucking Sheena, there's no way you're going to be back on the show. Be so for real. Girl, so confusing. Okay. So then this is when the tides really turn on Bo, I would say, in the fandom. Obviously, Stassi has made lemonade out of racism. She has, you know, her books, her podcasts. So then we get some disturbing reports from her podcast listeners. Godspeed to you, anyone who could do that. That was where I had to draw the line with my research. I'm like, I can't do Stassi podcast clips. But I can do Lifehouse music videos, but I cannot do Stassi podcast clips. Anyway, I realized I had a window open. Cut that.
Yeah.
Okay. So so apparently Bo really spoke down to her on this Good, the Bad and the Baby podcast. He was just very bro-ish, which is more like Patrick, not really how Bo portrayed. He portrayed himself as like the dorky, smart, I love film type of guy.
Yeah, who just I'm artsy.
And probably the most disturbing thing, the thing that always stuck in my mind and really sealed the deal for me on Bo was that when she was pregnant, he pressured her to keep blowing him and having sex with him, even when it was painful for her in her later trimesters.
Yeah.
Two to three times a week.
Yeah.
Is that he demanded that. And then during pandemic, when she was pregnant, he would complain about her not dressing up nice for him.
Right. And doing he's her like, makeup. Right. You didn't want to look good for me.
Which, just
gross.
And again, it's giving Patrick type behavior, you know? Yeah. And it's really one of the fascinating things about Stassi where it's like
she's insecure.
So that she keeps choosing these men who like she kind of dresses them up to, you know, the public
like Patrick is so successful. He's like got this great job and I went to New York and he's so smart. And then, you know, Bo is this amazing guy who has a job, but he's nice to me. My family loves him. He records me.
Which we get a glimpse into that. He records me. Which we get a glimpse into that when her mom comes on the show and is like, "You could do so much better than Stassi."
Better. That is crazy though. Her mom was like blackout drunk, and it was like, "You don't have to be." She's not a good person.
Yeah. So we kind of get a glimpse why she keeps choosing these Jason Hoppe types. And I will say this is what I have discovered in my research on Bo, to kind of spoil the rest of the podcast. I don't think he's a murderer. I don't even think he's like a grifter beyond what most people are in LA who try to like make themselves seem successful when they're broke, and partying and don't really have a passion or a dream. They just want to be famous. But I do think he is a Jason Hoppe type. Mm-hmm. That is what I think. Okay, so let's get into the nitty gritty. Let's get into the truth about Bo. Because, again, we've heard so many conflicting stories from him. What is his name? Is it he said in some interviews it's Silvio Bardetti. He said he was confused about his kid's birth certificate because he didn't know which name to put.
But his name is also Robert, and that's how he got... Like, because a Bo can be a nickname for Robert, but that's usually spelled like B-O.
Yeah.
He just has like French.
Right. And unfortunately, Michelle, I'm sorry to tell you.
Mm-mm. He's not Robert.
His name is Robert Edward Clark. He's named after his grandfather from Tarpon Springs, Florida. And as young as the age of 11, there is a newspaper clipping. Or he did, in fact, go by Bo Clark. But also, he was still in elementary school.
Who's Silvio?
Silvio Bardetti. Okay, so this is where it gets interesting. So his dad is Fausto Bardetti. He is like an Italian man. And his mom is Issa Clark. And they were married like kind of right before he was born in Tarpon Springs. He was born in Fort Lauderdale, like he says. And then in the newspaper clipping... They have misspelled his dad's name, Fausto Bardetti.
Okay.
So there is kind of nowhere. I looked everywhere for a birth certificate for Bo. I looked for Robert Edward Clark. I looked for Silvio Bardetti. I looked for Silvio Bardettle. I looked for
Fausto. Oh, my God.
It's not anywhere. I almost think my working theory right now, I probably just couldn't find it because, like, I'm not a journalist. I'm just a freak. But my working theory is that, you know, the hospital sends in the information and probably that's like what was sent into the newspaper too. And that it was like, I have a social security card where they misprinted my name and where he possibly has a misprint in his. So it's like, I kind of think the reason he goes by so many names is partially because of, like, obviously bad finances. He was broke in LA for a long time. But I think the other reason is he, you know, his dad, they, and mom, they get divorced a year later and his dad moves back to Italy. I think this is so boring, but I think Issa Clark, love therapist, would say that he is someone who has an identity crisis from, like, having a mom who's a therapist that fucks you up, having a dad who left, and he's kind of confused and insecure about who he is. I really think that that's the bottom line with Bo, because a lot of his stories, sadly, they check out.
Okay.
I know. He says, I was born in Fort Lauderdale, then moved to Italy when I was about four-ish. There's no record of that, but I have no reason not to believe it. Mm-hmm. My mom remarried my dad from Nashville, and we moved around a lot. So it's like that, again, it's like he, like, kind of exaggerates small things. Like, he mostly lived in Tarpon Springs. His mom got remarried to, like, this guy who would be basically his stepdad and, like, real dad for, like, you know, most of his childhood until they get divorced and she gets remarried. And they lived in Nashville for a year, Austin for a year. Mostly they lived in Florida. But I think the reason he's fudging this stuff isn't because, like, a criminal past. I think it's just because, like, have you ever known, like, kind of an insecure guy who's had, like, kind of a fucked up family and they just lied about stuff for no reason? Like, do you know a lot of pathological liars?
No.
You don't? Okay. So Bo went to art school after he graduated. School.
Okay.
Which, you know, totally.
You can tell because he has so much beautiful artwork all over his body.
All of his stick and pokes.
Yeah.
Giving me art school. And then his mom remarried again once he was in art school. And then his dad ended up moving back to Florida when he was 19. He says he met back up with his dad when he was 21. Again, I think probably it happened when he was 19 because he's got a traffic ticket in Florida at around that time. I think probably that's when he met his sister as well. And then Bo moved to Hollywood in 2000.
The city of angels.
And the rest is history. History. Let's get into his mom's practice.
Right. So it's legitimate.
It is. Honestly, like, this might be boring too, but I'm like, I visit her website and I'm like, I would go to her.
She's a love therapist.
Louisa Clark, I am here to help you navigate the chaos that accompanies inner growth. Also, a beautiful blonde woman. Mm-hmm. He's got a type.
All right.
I found her a high school yearbook picture. Looks a lot like Stassi.
Stunner.
So when my own well-adjusted ego began to break down, I clung to this quote by Krishnamurti like a talisman of protection. It helped me to remind myself that stability does not necessarily indicate a state of sanity. And I think that applies to the Schroeder family very much, or Schroeder Clarks.
Oh my God, yeah.
In fact, to survive dysfunction by adapting to it would indicate a stable state of insanity. That one's a thinker.
Stable. That's why I'm doing the thinker pose.
I'm like, okay. Maybe she'll pull it back around in the end.
I'm feeling healed already.
For this reason, I was able to reframe my ego's breakdown as the beginning of authentic sanity, still in its initial stage of instability. Who does this remind you of, Michelle?
Oh, Patrick.
Patrick, yeah, definitely the pretension of a Patrick, but for me, it reminds me very much of the Tao of one Kelly Ben Simone. Oh. I had to break down to break through.
Okay, yeah. I'm up here.
You're down here. I learned there is a difference between being well-adjusted and being well. As a psychotherapist, I see myself as a guide to those who are making this transition at whatever stage and in whatever form it might take. I'm here to help navigate the chaos that accompanies inner growth.
Wow. Wow, Bethany. Wow.
Wow. And she's been in practice for 30 years.
Okay. Well,
have you? So you don't know Pathological Liars. Have you heard the old adage?
Did I tell you Bethany Frankel deleted a comment I left?
Oh,
from
okay.
We're well on our way. Yeah, she deleted one of the comments I left from Bravo Breakdowns yesterday.
Okay, that's good. That's good. A block is coming.
I said she was like making one of her supermodel snacks. Mm-hmm. Speaking of pathological unwell people.
Yeah.
She just got one of those packages of like guacamole that where you like take the like lid off mm-hmm. and stir. And she's like, I have an avocado, but I'm too busy. I'm too busy to cut it open. So I left a comment saying, remember when Kelly said she wasn't a chef? That was interesting.
So good.
It was deleted in 5 minutes.
Here's the thing about Bethany's avocados. The way she pulls out the strings when she takes them out is so repulsive to me.
Avocados?
Like, yes, because you know like how if you mash them a certain way, they get really stringy and you can kind of like make it like – give it a stringier texture. I never thought about it. It grosses me out because I want it smooth. Like
an avocado slice.
And lumpy. And well, that's what she always does with
guacamole.
Her and bagels. No, but she doesn't do it fully into like a, it's like stringy.
She's so nasty.
She's so gross. Okay, anyway. So have you heard the adage that therapist kids are always the most fucked up?
Like, yes.
That cliche.
Yeah.
I really think that's what we're looking at here.
Yeah.
Bo. I think we're looking at – oh, I also think we're looking at
– He doesn't know who he is. You're right.
And you know who the most fucked up men are psychologically, since we're talking therapy.
Oedipal BPR.
And oh. BPR. But it's like men whose father Mamas. Left their mom – and they are like their mom's protectors, you know, like in You. Did you ever watch the show?
Yeah, I watched a little bit of it.
He's an Oedipal hero who had to save him.
But he's so hot. He's so damn hot.
Yeah.
I love hearing all of his thoughts.
Yeah. Yeah. His narration.
All of his thoughts.
It's snubbed, honestly, I think, for at least a Golden Globe. Anyway, so yeah, I think that's kind of when we want answers about Bo, unfortunately, they're not in whitepages.com. They are more in the text of Freud. Speaking of Freud, let's get into Bo's career.
Okay.
So this is where I've got my really fun surprises for you, Michelle. This is also the tech part of our proceedings, so pray for us. Work-wise, this is from an article that Bo did. Work-wise, Vanderpump Rules viewers will already know he earns a living as a commercial casting director. Mm-hmm. Clark also has some acting roles to his name, as per IMDb. But as he explained to Daily Dish, I came out here to direct and get into casting back when I was 22. He was 20. But then when you're in the room and someone was like, hey, Bo, do you want to do this part for X amount of money? I'm like, oh, yes, because that's a crap load of money. So that's why I randomly did acting.
Yeah.
Sorry. I've got to borrow from the 90s. Said no actor ever.
Everyone knows how lucrative and easy it is to
become an actor in LA with no credits.
Yeah. He read something in Variety that Tom Cruise made $20 million the last Mission Impossible movie. He's like, hey, that is nice work if you can get it.
Yes. He also does all of his own stunts in the lucrative things, his lucrative roles, such as the documentary William Hung, Hanging with Hung.
The singer from American Idol?
Yes.
The very same.
Yes, the one and the same. One of his
She bangs.
One of his few credits outside of short films, which we're going to watch a little bit of one here in a bit. He also got an uncredited role in the serial killer biopic Dahmer.
Oh,
unfortunately,
he would.
Not foreshadowing. And then when we get to his casting, working with casting history, at first I was like, maybe this does add up. Maybe like he's mostly worked with commercial places, and that's why he doesn't have any casting on his IMDb other than short films. But let's break it down a little. Before working for Sanford Casting, Bo worked for other big Hollywood casting companies.
Okay.
In 2002, he started working with Ricky Masler, stayed there 1 year, worked with Pam Bouvier Casting. Any relation to Jackie? I hope so.
Maybe.
And Rick then Duggan. after... Mr. Bouvier. He moved on to work with Jeff Greenberg casting, where he stayed for another 2 years. So that puts us in 2006. He left the company to do freelance commercial directing and advertising before landing his feet at Sanford Casting in 2020. Something of a gap there, I would say.
2006 to 2020, after he was after Stassi was fired from VPR.
Yeah.
Just kind of. So what did he exactly do? Was he really a casting director?
Not director. I think he was a casting assistant. Like, which is not, you know, highly, it's more like a kind of a receptionist role. Like, I know a lot of people who worked as casting assistants, it's different, but on Broadway, and that's like almost like an intern kind of job.
Yeah.
But now it's interesting because he's kind of parlayed it into, like, you know, I think he like freelances with Sanford Casting, which does seem like
he's
a legitimate
casting
agency. I doubt he is, but he was, you know, like, you know, in 2020.
Okay.
And
when Stassi's podcast was dropped.
Right. Yeah. She was like, go back to work casting. You know,
because she was dropped by iHeart for a little while.
Yeah. And so he doesn't really have, and also it was all, you know, like online. So he could be a dad and do that.
Right.
But it's like kind of, I think, the typical LA grifter story, like make it seem like I'm doing more than I did.
Yeah.
And also, I think clearly he wanted to be an actor. I think that's just so obvious, especially when you see.
I want to see My Name in Lights.
Yes. And he did so much.
Beau's turn. He's getting.
He was so Beau's
turn. Beau's turn.
Here he is. Boys.
Boys.
His bow tie.
And I am boys.
His dinosaur costume comes up. Light the lights. No,
everything's coming up, Boses.
But unfortunately, he is Michelle, even though he had really kind of the right look.
The right stuff.
Which you'll see here in a bit. Very scenester. Obviously, he's very tall. But my God, he is not good at these very lucrative music videos and short films that he did for the 12 years before he met Stassi. I'm going to share my screen and show you a little music video, actually a very famous song by a Christian band that kind of made it big for a little while in the early 2000s. None other than Lifehouse. He is the lead.
Hanging by a Moment?
Not quite. Hanging by a Moment.
Their only song anybody's ever heard.
Their follow-up, slightly less successful single, You and Me. You and Me, You and Me. So I'm going to show you a little of this music video because we'll narrate it a little bit for the audio. Just here we go. So yeah, just kind of narrate what you're seeing and hearing as we go. We'll play the song quietly.
Very quietly.
Well, the song, it hasn't started yet.
Is that him? No.
Preamble. That's a woman. Well, that's his love interest. She has a heavy bangs. Heavy side bang.
It's a heavy side bang. She bangs.
She bangs indeed.
Is that Beau?
And that is Beau. He has identical side bangs.
Oh, the white belt. He was very seen. The white belt. He's got the look.
He's got the look.
Wait. Oh, is that a soul patch?
It's a full little dirty goatee going on. And then this is a Lifehouse themselves. I don't know why this lead singer didn't just do it, because he's honestly a very good looking guy.
He can only concentrate on that string guitar.
True. It is too Christian.
Guitar.
Too Christian. To be searching
Christian
for a woman.
Too Christian for that belt. Okay. Oh. He's got the British flag, Union Jack. But it looks weathered.
And he is searching.
He's searching for something.
Something.
And hanging by a moment.
This is going to be a motif in Beau's short films and projects.
Where are they? Are they at a subway station?
I believe they are in a train station in Tristan, LA.
He took a taxi cab to a train station. And there's no departures.
No departures. But he can't find what he's looking for.
Oh my God. And she's carrying a suitcase.
Mm-hmm.
What's he doing?
He's trotting. He's
so. Oh my God. The bracelets. He's got bracelets.
He's got bracelets. He's got bracelets. Find her, Michelle. Do you think?
And the fact that nobody, like, he's been running through this train station. Nobody's been like, "Sir, do you need help?" And he hasn't even asked for help.
And how many people would you estimate are in this train?
Oh my God! I found it. I found it. Oh, that's not her. Oh my God!
That is, in fact, our friend Amanda Hahn, who we found instead. So she looked just like Amanda Hahn.
She did.
But yeah, there's like seven extras in this train station. And Bo is running around, looking for...
Like a chicken with his head cut off.
This beautiful woman. Anyway, spoiler alert, get to the end.
They're in love.
He does, in fact, find her.
Oh, that classic Bo smile.
Yeah, that beautiful Bo smile that lights up a room that we fell in love with.
And we were devastated when he couldn't return
protect his
wife's honor. Stand by your man. No. Yeah. No. I'm going to be a casting associate again.
Okay. So now I'm going to show you something that is almost exactly the same in contents. But this is a short film, actually, that he was involved in. And actually, I think Bo will say it best, the part that is the most shocking. In one of his favorite ways of expressing things, which is lies. In lies. Wait, where did I put it? Oh, God damn it.
Exactly.
Sorry, one sec. This is like the big cherry on top. This is the closer. I'm telling you, Michelle, what happens?
I'm excited.
Okay, here it is. Okay. In 20
short film artwork.
So, some of his other films have been five of his short films were in 2005, 2008, The Dark Side of Happiness, The Chase. He loves chasing. That was kind of his big thing.
He's good at jogging.
Chasing, jogging, searching. Auteur.
Okay.
Breakdown. And, of course, Sex in Los Angeles.
Hello.
In 2009, he played the role of Jack Proctor in the romantic comedy drama, all three. Coyote Country Loser.
What a hit.
And then Clark was next showing his range in The Revenant, not the Iñárritu Revenant, D. Kelly Pryor's comedy fantasy horror film.
Oh, he wasn't the bear.
No. And then he played the role of The Hood opposite screen veterans, you know, your favorites of yours, Michelle, David Anders and Chris Wilde.
Love them.
Now let's get to the piece de resistance. In 2010, Bo starred in the Paul Bock-directed short film The Loneliness of a Long-Distance Dreamer. He confessed he never saw the film's final cut. Oh, how about that? So when he accidentally bumped into the director, they reacquainted. And
hello.
Sent him a link to watch the short film, a link which I may have found online. The film opens with Clark's character making out with a woman. And only then did Bo realize, oh yeah, the woman I made out with at the beginning of this film was... Kristen Doty. I totally forgot that.
Was that the
Michelle?
Wait. Was he the guy she made out with in that sizzle reel that we saw on VPR? She's just like making out with a guy for a long time.
Yes. It's Bo.
That's Bo?
Yeah, I'll share with you.
From her sizzle reel?
From her sizzle reel. And he's like, oh, yeah, I mean, Kristen did introduce us, but I totally forgot that we made out.
So he had been on the show before.
Yeah.
He had been on the show
before. So he's
I think about her sizzle often. I love it.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're about to see the...
Sizzle. I'm about to sizzle.
You're about to see her sizzle and shine, baby. And it's a really bizarre, we'll watch a little bit of this film. It's a really bizarre opening that has nothing to do with the rest of the movie. Is just a dream where, appropriately enough for the end of this podcast, Sigmund Freud is accompanying a searching Bo. He's doing a lot of his searching acting, his specialty, finding the girl of his dreams, who also looks exactly like the girl from the Lifehouse video, Kristen Doty. Like, it's like a different actress for some reason. And then at the end, he finds her in the dream. And then Freud does a thumbs up. Michelle, while I pull this up, what do you think Freud would say about Bo getting a tattoo that says Georgia across his arm?
He would say, I need more cocaine for this one.
So,
I'm going to need more cocaine.
My medical, you take this one. I'm going to do some rails.
Yeah, I'm going to do some rails.
Okay, here it is. All right.
Because Freud did cocaine.
Yes.
Famously. Okay. Much like Jax. Yes.
Famously. One of the many things they have
in common. But, yeah.
Shit.
Oh my God, the shadows.
All right, it begins. Oops.
Picture.
So this is
Descartes.
Those who go forward only very slowly can progress much further if they always keep to the right path than those who run and wander off it. I think that is from Issa Clark's website, actually.
No. Wow. Poignant.
Mm.
First kills? Yeah. First kiss films. Love them. No, that's a production company. Oh, my God.
And
it is. Okay.
Those are the lips of none other than Dodie herself.
The oh, the smiling, the teeth clattering. Wait, why is it going away?
That's the beginning. That's the beginning of the film. It's him watching this on a screen.
Is that why it's called First Kiss Productions?
I guess.
Because it's the first thing you see?
Yeah, okay, so two things. Yeah, we got to discuss this. So, okay, I think I'm meeting them more than halfway here, but I do think that maybe it's like,
he crazy. Has leading man vibes.
Definitely.
Big leading man energy. Yes.
Him like, he's like getting, his character I think is getting over an ex, and that's Kristen. Or the girl who they cast as the love interest wouldn't do the kissing scene, so they had to hire Kristen to.
She's like, I'll do it.
I'll do it. Sit.
Remember she used to chain smoke cigarettes? Her, she had like a Patty and Selma voice.
Yeah.
All doing.
I know. I miss her gruff baritone.
Yeah.
Her basso profundo. But okay. Do you
which
think
is
that,
a weeho.
Do you think that if you had filmed a scene like this, even if it was in 2010, do you think you would have just totally forgot if you filmed it with someone you were friends with over the past like 8 years? Do you think that's something that can slip someone's memory, Michelle?
Maybe it slipped, you know, Bo Clark's memory, but maybe it didn't slip Silvio's memory.
That was Silvio Bardetti.
Yeah, so maybe if he has multiple personalities, what do they call that now?
Dissociative.
He has alters. So his alter. Oh my God. Yeah. Bo has alters.
I do think that, I think that that is a more likely
Bo has alters
explanation. But he does not have any alters in the acting world. He can only play the one character, guy searching for brunette woman with side part, as we'll see a little bit.
I need some brunette woman to make out with me.
Okay, let's get to the Freud.
It's giving... Oh my God. Oh, he's clean shaven here. Soul patch is gone.
He is kind of.
But now he has the heavy side part.
He's the girl he's looking for. He bangs.
Yeah, he's morphed into the girl he's always wanted. This is a new alter.
He's really giving me kind of a True Blood here.
He is. Yeah. He's giving Sookie.
So this is kind of like
a video store.
And we know it's a video store because it says video.
There's another brunette with bangs. Yes. Oh, he's just here to return. Let me stick this in the slot. Oh, guys, stop. It's a DVD return thing.
Freudian.
The bangs have shifted. There's been a shift. A wake shift. He's running again.
Yeah.
He's jogging again.
Yeah.
To a girl who's been waiting for this. She's been waiting for his workout to end.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait. He is back. Well, who's this Martin Mull or Freud? Is that Martin Mull playing Freud?
No.
The kids remember.
Yeah. I wish that this guy had the comedic chops of Martin Mull, although I will say that
I miss him. Where
strong.
Is he? Any eyes? Does anybody Mull. Have Martin, eyes on Martin?
He did a great work on Roseanne. All right. So, spoiler alert. We get to the end of the dream. And...
it was all just a dream. Oh, boy.
I was with the Banks girl.
Pacific Ocean at their feet.
Mm-hmm. I believe this is on the Malibu. Beach.
Oh, my God. Is he going to propose? Wait, what? Wait, what? What just happened? No.
And then And then Freud is there.
And he's not dressed all at right. all appropriately for the beach.
So, Bo got into acting for the money. Wasn't his passion.
He got into it for the money and the brunette women.
The brunette women. Oh my, so with those
bangs.
Some credence to the idea that Stassi was not his type. He right. Her, she had no bangs.
Mm-hmm.
Blonde hair.
And he didn't seem to jog towards her ever.
They never jog.
With
never
Freud, with Freud's watchful eye.
I just love the ending, which for our podcast listeners, it's like, yes! Never seen nothing like you. He's like,
or it's giving Bo like goes, the Breakfast Club at the end.
Yes. And Bo goes, I guess I'm just a dreamer because the whole movie's been a dream. And then Freud comes up and does like the Judd Nelson.
The Judd Nelson.
You got the girl.
Yeah, the freak got the girl.
In summary, what did you learn about Beauregard, Bogey, Silvio Bardetti, Clark today?
I'm going to cut my bangs.
Uh-oh, watch out, Stassi.
I'm going to cut my bangs. We are going to Fort Lauderdale. I still need to book it. I'm waiting for my stuff. So we're going to go visit Beau's homeland.
Yes.
Not Italy.
Tarpon Springs.
He always said, I thought he talked about on the show being from Italy.
His dad is from
Italy. But he said that he like grew up in Italy. Like his children have passports. They have dual citizenship.
That has more to do with Italy's birthright citizenship laws, where it's like if you have a grandparent who was born in Italy, then you can have dual citizenship. He might have lived there for a little while.
He says that he speaks Italian, but I've never heard it.
It seems like he got, from my research, it seems like when he met back up with his father, when his father moved back to America, he got, that's when he like, you know, got into, you know, his
Stassi.
Sister and like, you
his
know,
sister.
Like, and got into art and cooking and all of
casting.
That. He's basically, I mean, I think we really hit the nail on the head where it's like all of Beau's identities, they are just his alters. He is Freud would say he is a lost kind of boy who was just searching for a girl to kind of give him a sense of identity and resent her.
And blowjobs. Give me
blowjobs 2 to 3 times a week.
Yeah, right. That was his famous quote. Like, give me identity and give me blowjobs, or give me death,
or give me death. And then, final note: I do have to say, who do you think adheres more to the actor Bo Clark's type, Georgia Bardetti or Stassi Schroeder?
Georgia's got that. She's got that hair he has been searching for.
Yeah, I hate to say it, but the jury is out. We agree with you, fans. We think Stassi had every right to be upset.
She's got the look.
She's got the look.
She's got the look.
Lisa Clark would agree. David Lynch would agree. Freud would agree. So
yeah, and their ghosts. And their ghosts would agree. They co-sign. The ghosts are like, we co-sign. Yeah.
Yeah. So Bo, in our estimation, has been downgraded from a murderous criminal to a
vehicular manslaughter.
Vehicular manslaughter weirdo. That was an inside joke from a little Matthew Broderick humor from earlier.
Yeah. It was really humor.
All right. Well, we love you guys. And tonight, Miami, we're so excited. Can't wait to get the tea on Alexia and Todd's divorce. Could I say one more thing to you, Michelle, before we go?
Yes.
Alexia, here is an old school reality star who knows not to leak the plot of the season to the tabloids. She's made us wait for it.
She's a star. She was born a star.
I can't wait to hear about Todd and how he didn't want to be on the show, and Marisol.
Frankie. I want to see Frankie in his nail salon.
I
love
can't
Frankie.
Wait to hear. We don't Frankie. Know anything about Julia and Adriana's
and
breakup.
What's going on with those chickens? Are the chickens going to be okay?
And will we see Martina this season?
They adopted a baby.
Toxic due to transphobia. All of this or is history.
Because of chemotherapy.
Oh. Again, no perfect victims, you know.
There's no
perfect,
yeah.
Not in cancer.
The big C.
Not in life. But yeah, I'm rock hard for tonight. Can't wait to watch. We're going to try to get those episodes out on Mondays for you guys.
Miami Mondays.
Miami Mondays. We love it. Love to see it. And guys, watch them and
guys and dolls,
or we will stop doing
it. We will stop, and we will only talk about Beau's oeuvre.
Yeah,
we will make everybody watch his short films.
I found more Vimeos. Okay.
The fact that they're on Vimeo is so dark-sided.
It's a deeply, well, because they otherwise, like, that obviously, never seen nothing like you is copyrighted, and they needed that.
Google says no.
So anyway, yeah, pass these videos on to your friends. If you never want us to do one like this again, then get people on board.
Yeah, be like, yes, somebody like us. We like and subscribe.
All right, love you guys.
Thank you for your service.
Bye, students.
Bye.